This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time to grab your popcorn and your drink. Please take your seat and always silence your cell phones. The next showing of Place to Be Nation's Laugh-In Theater with Andy Atherton is about to begin.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to the theater, the Laugh-In Theater. I am your host, Andy Atherton, and thank you for joining me tonight. Tonight, we have a returning guest and a great movie. Truly, this is one of those where the movie and the guest had to match. And because of the banging soundtrack on this movie, there was only one person I thought of. He is Mr. Todd Weber. Todd, my friend and OG of Place to Be Nation. Been a while since we chatted on a pod. How are you, my friend?
Double A. It's been a minute, hasn't it been?
Yes, it has.
So I assuming you're having me on the show because of my expertise in the field of marijuana usage.
Yes, that is it. You are 420 all the time, Todd. Right?
I am a notorious marijuana user. I enjoy the green weed bud, as it were. I'm all about the soundtrack for this song. So mm-hmm. this show, this movie. Thanks for having me back. Last time we were on, it was Swingers, mm-hmm. and so now we're here for Dazed and Confused, a couple years earlier, mm-hmm. but still in my Generation X '90s indie film wheelhouse.
Yes, very good. I love this movie. It's a movie that I didn't see like initially. Back when it came out in 1993. So I was, I turned 21 that year, about same as you, right? You're about my age, right?
We were born in the same calendar year.
That's right. I'm getting old, so I don't always remember these things. But yes, so I didn't see it when it came out, but I did visit it a little bit later. And since then, this is one of those movies that if I don't care what part it's on, if I'm flipping channels, I'm there. I'm sucked into it.
Yeah, me too. Although, I've kind of gone away from scanning the mm-hmm. The cable and seeing what's on to more picking my shots because I just don't have the time. Hang in there. This is a recurring theme for this show. I've watched it a couple times over the past 2 or 3 years. This was a movie I maybe avoided for a while because based on the marketing of it, I thought it was something different than it really was. And we had the memes and things with McConaughey's character that we'll mm-hmm. talk about later. So we know what this movie really is. But as far as the marketing and the title, it seemed like it was maybe more of a stoner film than I thought, and than it ends up really being. It's more of a slice of life one day in 1976, and we'll get to that because it's a cross section of people in Austin, Texas. This is a very autobiographical film for Richard Linklater.
Yes. He based it on where he grew up, and he wrote it over, and amazingly, because of the great soundtrack, he spent about a sixth of the movie's budget on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're going to talk about so many names that are so familiar now, but at the time, almost all of them were relatively unknowns. And I'm sure once they pop up for the first time, we are going to talk about them and their filmography and everything they've done. So basically, again, let's just kind of go over the plot summary really quick. It's the last day of school at a high school in small town Texas in 1976. The upperclassmen are hazing the incoming freshmen, and everyone is trying to get stoned, drunk, or laid, even the football players that signed a pledge not to. Very simple. Very fun. I love the kind of the short time span of this movie, because that's where, like you said, it's really a slice of life. And how things were in this one town where football is life in Texas, as we've seen in many other movies and shows.
Yeah, even dating back to the 70s, mm-hmm. football is really a big thing as far as the establishment. And, yet you have, I'll say the disco era, but disco didn't really, it was more of an urban thing, didn't come down. This is more of the radio rock.
Yes.
And the soundtrack reflects that. So you do, you have a cross section of kids in this town that's very small. People all know each other, but it seems like football is still king, at least as far as the traditions go for mm-hmm. this town.
Mm-hmm. All right, cool. So we're going to dive right into the movie. I am watching it on a Blu-ray disc. Yes, they still make them. Todd, you're watching it on Starz streaming. Is that correct?
Actually, no. I own the film digitally through Apple, through iTunes. Okay. And so I'm just watching it on my iPad while I talk to you on my Mac.
All right. Fun stuff, yeah. All Mac here. So we are both queued up around 21, 22, 23 seconds. And we're ready to go. I'm ready when you are, Todd, right?
I think so.
Okay, here we go. On my mark. 3, 2, 1, hit play. Okay. So we see we're past the Universal logo, by the way, the Gramercy Pictures logo with a guy, hands up, kind of thing. Sweet Emotion is playing.
It's Randy Orton.
It's Randy Orton, yes, burning his light. And Sweet Emotion is playing. Great song that got a renaissance, actually, back in the with that video in the 90s.
Yeah, that's one of the great comeback video stories. You know, it was a song that was from the 70s, obviously. Yeah. And then Aerosmith did this wonderful video with, I think, of the call center employees.
Yes. I love it. Yeah, he's talking, the guy, the kid's like talking to you, thinks it's like this woman, like this hot woman, and he hangs up the phone, and then you see her hang up the phone, and it's like this woman in curlers, heavy set, holding a baby cooking. So here we are, we're outside the high school. Somebody was rolling a J.
Lee High School, the Fighting Rebels.
Ah.
If the South would have won.
Rory Cochran there.
Slater. I think the first couple times I tried to watch this film, I thought the opening sequence, and I've said this before, is maybe a little too choreographed, you know. But they're just trying to give you a sense of who the characters are without really getting into the dialogue. It's beautiful, actually. You know, you go back and see it with the soundtrack and the upperclassmen making their paddles and
play poker and. There's our, you know, the it couple looks like. Play a little dice. Basically, we get like kind of like our main characters. We get like a little sense of them before we're really introduced to them, which is really, you know, pretty good.
Yeah, I think that's the whole point of this is, you know, you see the cast, and you observe them in their natural habitat. We don't really get any plot development yet.
Mm-hmm. Written and directed by Richard Linklater.
Yeah, this is his second film. Slacker was the first film we did. Mm-hmm. That gave him the clout to make this film. Mm-hmm. Slacker was a very influential independent movie and inspired Kevin Smith to start making movies around this time. And speaking of Kevin Smith, here's Jeremy London or Jason London? Which of these is?
It's Jason in this movie.
Okay, and then his brother was in Mallrats.
Mm-hmm, Jeremy.
Kind of similar character, or at least a heartthrob.
And there's another from the VSK universe, Joey Lauren Adams. Amy, the title character, I guess. Not actually named Amy, but... And Mallrats also, she was in.
Kevin Smith's ex-girlfriend, in fact.
Mm-hmm. There's Slater again, and Randall Pink Floyd, and that is Pickford, who actually... The two actors did not get along.
They did not. No, they share a lot of scenes together, but they apparently they decreased Pickford's role, in fact, based on he and Jeremy London not getting along so well. So interesting, because he seems like he would be, you know, he's the guy with the girlfriend. That's his biggest contribution here. He's the guy with the weed and the guy with the girls. Well, actually, Slater's more the guy with the weed.
Yeah. And Mila Jovovich plays Michelle. She, I don't even know if she has a line in the whole movie, really.
I know she plays her guitar and she decorates the things, but she's really just arm candy for the most part in this film.
Mm-hmm. Then we got Mike and Tony, Adam Goldberg and Anthony Rapp. Oh, God.
That's the other Adam Goldberg.
Mm-hmm. The other one. And Marissa Ribisi. You know, these, you know, group of friends that like to play cards.
kind of the smart kids, you know. It's like they were the school paper type kids, you know. She is Giovanni Ribisi's twin sister, and I didn't know that.
Yes, and Anthony Rapp, who he's been in some stuff, but I remember him in School Ties at Brendan Fraser, Matt Damon. He played such a dick in that movie. Oh my god!
Yeah. So
only second to Matt Damon in dickness in that movie.
Yeah, is Affleck in that film too?
Yeah,
kind of like as an extra. Okay, so Brendan Fraser did a movie called Blast from the Past.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And his character in that movie was named Adam Weber. And I have a brother named Adam Weber who named his son Brendan because of that fact. So it's pretty cool.
It's great.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, so speaking of Adam, here's Adam Adam Goldberg, not Adam F. Goldberg, who writes and produces the Goldbergs TV show.
Yeah, here's Tony's talking about his dream about Abraham Lincoln or something, like a woman's body in Abraham Lincoln's head or something. Very weird. What the hell was he smoking before that?
Yeah, no, this guy, he's kind of like the intellectual of the crew. He's it's funny because everybody knows each other. Busy Phillips? No, that's not Busy Phillips.
It's, she's not in this movie. Her name is Dina Martin. That's Siobhan. And we got, this is Jody, played by Michelle Burke. I don't know what she's ever been in. And this guy, Sasha Jensen, Donnie, he didn't do anything except for he was in the Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie.
Oh, the Christy Swanson Buffy movie.
He's one of the teenagers that could turn into a vampire.
So did you ever have an overalls phase, Andy?
No, I never had an overalls phase.
Well, there was briefly a point in 1997 that I had a Caesar cut a la George Clooney, and I wore Guess brand overalls. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what was going on. Oh, look at that bong.
Yeah.
That.
And Slater, the expert. The teacher's snoring.
This is a real teacher from this high school, or from Linklater's High School that they brought in.
I never did shop class or anything like that because I went to a Catholic all boys prep school for high school.
So it really was like School Ties for you, huh?
Kind of. At times, yeah.
Yeah, I went to a football-based high school in my part of the world, Folsom. Mm-hmm. Folsom High. It's home of Folsom Prison. I played football. But it was a small enough school that, you know, you could be involved in as many things as you wanted to be. I was on football, but I would also try to be in music programs, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I think my goal was to be known to everybody, but not be super popular. I don't know. I think I didn't want what came along with that. But I think you're just at that point, if you don't have somebody looking out for you or telling you what's what, you're going to put so much priority on being cool or trying to get a girlfriend that you're going to miss a lot of the cool stuff that you would have in high school. And I did. I was so trying to feel I was okay by having a girlfriend. I think I talked about this in Swingers too, that I missed a lot of the great friendships I could have had. You know, I was chasing way too many girls in high school. That was the concept for me.
Yeah, I was kind of a late bloomer in some aspects. I was small. I was really short. And track for football got the shit kicked out of me. So that was that. So I did, like, I was track, swimming. I did the play all 4 years. That was the only thing I did all 4 years of high school.
I did drama too, yeah.
It was the only co-ed club too at the time where us and our sister school would do the musicals together. So it was a good way to meet girls.
Yeah. So was it a Jesuit type school or what was the
Irish Christian Brother?
Okay. Christian Brothers. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There are two prominent Catholic boys high schools in Sacramento, and one is Christian Brothers High and one is Jesuit High. So.
Yeah. All right. We're getting back to the movie here. Here's Benny. Looks like one of these are all the BMOCs here. And he's got his paddle.
They're all about to become seniors. This is the last day of their junior year, right?
Yeah, so they have a tradition where they give licks with paddles, much like fraternity pals or whatever. And Jody here is trying to tell them to be nice to her brother, Mitch, who's going to be a freshman.
Right.
Which is the worst thing she could have done for him.
She's going to get all the attention. Apparently, who's the guy in the Raglan shirt there?
Cole Hauser.
Right, and I read that Vince Vaughn was initially going to be cast in this role, but they thought he was too similar looking to Ben Affleck.
Oh yeah, I would have. Yeah, this I couldn't have, I wouldn't have bought Vince Vaughn in that unless it was like basketball. This kid looks like a Texas football player.
Yes, he does. And Vince Vaughn, as you remember from Swingers a few years later, is super thin and tall and gangly. So, oh my gosh, yeah, they're terrorizing the eighth graders. So, was hazing a big deal to you in the late 80s or, you know, mid late 80s? Was that ever a thing that was even considered?
I mean, we got picked on as freshmen. I mean, but it wasn't like hazing, wasn't like rituals. Like, mm-hmm. like see, I didn't make the play freshman year, so I was on a stage crew. They had like an initiation ritual, which was climbing the scaffold with them shaking it or some stupid ass thing or whatever. I had to do a dive off of the lighting thing onto a pole vault mat. That's when my nickname was.
Holy
actually,
crap. So yeah. The theater nerds had their own version of it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So I got the nickname Danger Mouse. I didn't live that down for a long time, that nickname. Now, this guy here, he's a, I don't know who the hell he is, but the kid who plays Carl, I just want to smack him throughout this movie. Because he's kind of a dick.
Yeah, you know, it's the kids that stayed blonde all the way through high school. They never turned out right, the Aryan youth.
Yes.
Like, generally, you're blonde, and then it starts changing around sixth grade, and it gets darker and darker. But the kids that stayed blonde, they tend to be the real jerks, in my experience.
Oh, thankfully, my son is not of that. You know, his blonde hair has now gotten to a dark brown, dirty blonde stage, and he is going to be in eighth grade soon.
Nice. And yeah, your daughter just graduated high school, yeah? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very exciting time. Yeah. Oh, God, look at those socks and shorts, those football
That
boots.
Was the coach look. Yeah. That is it. The coach/athletic director, mm-hmm. The long shorts, high waist, and the high socks. My gosh.
You wouldn't know how to write your name if it wasn't Stetson on your locker. I don't remember this actor's name. The only thing I knew him from is First and 10, which was at HBO show back in the what was it, 80s and 90s about the football players with it had you know, Don Gibb as Dr. Death and Zagreb Skrzynewski, and O.J. Simpson was on it actually for a while.
Wow. No. Okay. I'm trying to think some of the old 80s HBO shows. What was the one that had just the random every episode it was contracted to have nudity?
Dream On or something?
It was Dream On. Oh, wow. Thank you very much. That was it. That's the one I was thinking of. You know, you go to grandma's house and look, grandma's got HBO. Look, Dream On's on and my grandparents are already asleep. I guess I'll watch that.
Yeah. So the coach here, they're making them do a pledge where they're going to like basically stay clean and sober. And all the players are just signing it, just to sign it. And the quarterback, Randy Pink Floyd, is not, you know, doesn't want to, basically. Because he doesn't seem like the kind that wants to play ball.
Right. He wants to have his cake and eat it too. You know, he wants his integrity. He doesn't want he wants to be his football player self, but he's also, it's like, I don't want to put up with the bull crap of being told what to do, I think. It's a little small for
I know, I was about to say that. I'm like, I'm looking at him, I'm like, this kid's a wide receiver.
Man, so many muscle cars in this movie.
Yeah, here comes Affleck of the Banyan. With Fuck you on the
such
paddle.
A turd. Everybody made their own paddles for this film, mm-hmm. as I read.
Oh, and you know, O'Banion is getting held, got held back or something, so now he has to repeat his senior year.
So he's the senior, he's the dinosaur who's going to stick around and be a senior yet again.
Yeah, he's the fifth year senior in high school.
Ah,
yeah. Yeah, these guys are talking about, you know, the benefits of being a football player. Basically, get you laid and get to parties and be the, you know, the most popular guys. Oh, God, yeah, these overalls. Oof. I never I never had a pair of that. Those, you know.
Go ahead.
No, I was like, that was more of a, back in the 90s, more of the women. I mean.
It's TLC. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There were guys who would wear them, or Rico Suave. We tried to make it work. But in the 70s, I guess it was just more of a utility, you know, I'm a blue-collar guy where I work on my car or something, you know? Mm-hmm. There are far fewer bell-bottoms than I would have thought for 1976.
Yeah. Now, this young teacher here, she must have She's got to be like in her early 20s, this one.
Carmel in his crazy pants. Look at those pants.
Yeah, those are Adidas.
No. So Wiley, who plays the kind of the central incoming freshman here, watch how often he touches his face throughout this.
Oh, movie. Yeah, that nose thing. That drives me crazy sometimes.
It is a meme. He does it so frequently throughout. And he's basically playing the character that Richard Linklater sees himself as. Or, you know, he is Linklater's perspective in this film.
Ah. As I understand. This teacher. Well, he told him, man, 50 are leaving. 25, you ain't coming back.
It's like college.
Yeah.
To your left, look to your...
Yeah. Yeah, these guys are just hanging out.
Yep, there's the cool teacher again.
Mm-hmm.
She might have been... No, she's a real teacher. She's not the student teacher.
No, no.
Do you remember student... Do you ever have student teachers at Christian Brothers?
No, not really. You know, and they all get out, and then school... Another great song, School's Out, by Alice Cooper.
Alice Cooper. What better song? Mm-hmm. It's kind of iconic. I associate it with this movie at this point, even though I'd heard that song for years on classic rock radio. This is just perfect. And here's the lyrics. We can't salute you, can't find a flag. If you that don't suit you, that's a drag. Alice Cooper, later in life, became a born-again Christian, rich man who plays golf almost every day.
Wow.
And one of the best episodes of The Muppet Show, Alice
Cooper. Yes, I remember that. Oh, God. I hope that ends up on Disney Plus.
I hope so, too. It's a rights thing. I think some British company still has the Muppet Show TV rights. Plus, the movie, the music has this weird pre-streaming law to it. But I have the DVD sets.
Yeah, so do I.
Every episode except for the Star Wars one, except for the Mark Hamill one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they I didn't know. I found out recently they shot all those in England, actually.
They did, yep. Very complicated. Love the Muppets, and it's just weird that the rights situation is all kind of tied up. It's all over the place.
Well, you know, we got the X-Men back in the MCU. Stranger things have happened. So, yeah.
Stranger Things.
Yeah.
That's on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. So here, you know, the bell rings, and it's hunting season now for the seniors to go after the freshmen, basically. And these guys.
They're really way too into this, I think. I think that changed a lot. There's guys like O'Banion are taking a lot more pleasure in this than they should. Get a life.
Yeah, and this is our central group of eighth graders here, our freshmen. We got we got another person, Melvin, is the black guy in the middle there. He's another one of the seniors. We haven't mentioned him yet. And then we got Parker Posey.
Star-making performance by Parker Posey is kind of the alpha female here.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's great.
And then, more of the... Shelly, here's the female version of the hazing, where they're getting them all and putting pacifiers in their mouths. And what will
be it's kind of a grooming thing going on here, you know? go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm like, this will be, I forget her name, but this is going to be our central eighth grade, our freshman girl.
Yeah, kind of our point of view character of as far as the incoming ninth graders, girls go, oh, these eighth grade kids, they're in for it. Look out.
Yeah, this is a fun chase sequence. Soul pull. Like, you know, it's not for nothing. You have to stop. So what is the logic here?
It's going to catch up. Just take it, accept it, get it over with.
Yeah.
You know.
A good song, too, the drive-by. Jim Dandy to the rescue.
Oh, I don't know. I don't have that one on my captions here.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
So apparently... Linklater has an unauthorized, I don't want to say it's unauthorized, but he did, it's on YouTube. If you search deeply enough, he did a commentary for this film that I meant to listen to. I just didn't get it around, and something like four or five different YouTube accounts. And what it saved on one of my YouTube accounts. And I was hoping to listen to it and watch it at the same time, but I'll find it afterwards. It's out there. If I ever find it, I'll let you know. But look, Ben Affleck caught the kids.
Here comes a very Texas scene here. Mom comes out with a shotgun.
I think Carl's mom's got a double barrel.
I think Carl would rather have the licks than have his mother do that. Get off my property. I was escorting
your lawn looks great. They have a good gardener. Wow.
just escorting your son home. Yeah. Yeah, Obanya's the type that if you look at him the wrong way, he's going to cock you in the face.
How old is Affleck here? I guess he's a little bit older than us, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think so. Let me see if I can call that up. He's not on the first page, actually,
of the cast. That's how deep this roster is, this cast is.
I mean, yeah, this is, you know. Let's see. Same age as us.
Okay.
Actually, a month older than I am, exactly.
Okay. Which means he's a couple months younger than me, apparently. Mm-hmm. So, but I was 20 years old when this film was made, mm-hmm. and then 21 when it came out. So, you know, he's right about the right age for this, because mm-hmm. he's 18, 19 mm-hmm. for the character.
It's so funny how, like, yeah, they're selling concessions for this ritual here. Everybody's just crowding around. You know, it's funny, though, is that going through this, especially for the girls, because you're going to be the alpha females eventually. Because not every girl is going through this. You know, you saw when they got over that
right.
One girl, like, who are you? She's like, nobody. She's like, are you in or you out? Sabrina, her name is. Oh, and they're all on the ground. They're getting...
Class of 77. So do you remember Summer of 76, Bicentennial Summer at all?
No, not really.
I really don't either. Yeah.
I remember getting scared by seeing like the Jaws poster. That's really it.
Yeah, I don't have too many memories. Apparently 77 is really where my memory starts. Because I remember seeing Star Wars and then all the Star Wars imitators in the theater. Mm-hmm. And then my parents split up in 1977. So I remember that as well. But 76, no, I don't. Although I know my dad was a high school teacher at this point, so he was right in the middle of this kind of thing. My gosh, they're brutal to these girls. What are they doing? It's like they're tar and feathering them with, mustard and ketchup. And
making her propose to the senior, and of course the senior's going to be a prick about it.
It's creepy.
Oh, God. And she obviously doesn't get it. She doesn't know yet. I would definitely
yeah. And Slater's got it right, though. This is super degrading. It's
she called, yeah. Siobhan calls him an asshole, but look what they're doing to these girls. Like,
you put her in this situation, girls.
Joey Lauren has a little cutoff shirt and a short shorts.
So Joey Lauren Adams and Renee Zellweger are both in this film.
Renee Zellweger's in this?
She is in this film briefly. She was cast for a bigger role, and then they reduced her role. She'll be in later. I'll point her out when we see her.
Oh, yeah. Actually, funny. I have the whole cast list. She's Girl in Blue Truck, uncredited.
She's there. Oh, see, somebody's getting hit on.
Oh. Well, yeah, Tony tries to be the same, but he just can't. Like, oh, stand up, please.
I mean, this is the late 70s. You got the liberated Gloria Steinem women, and they're still living like this in Texas.
Well, Texas is always a few years behind everybody else.
Yeah.
And there's Joe. I'm supposed to be a bitch, but come on, let's go.
And that's, what's Wiley's character's name?
Mitch.
Mitch, that's Mitch's sister, kind of I feel like she's kind of the lead female in this film, or at least the lead senior girl. Mm-hmm. Even though she's not hooked up, you know, Twitter or hooked up with anybody yet.
Yeah.
Like, you can see where it's going. I mean, She feels like the protagonist female to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's arguable that, you know, it could be between a few of them, but yeah, she's probably the main. Now look at that there. Look at the sign up there, Hitchcock's Family Plot, for what's playing at the local drive-in, I guess.
So 76. Yeah, I'm trying to think movies. This is pre Jaws. Mm-hmm. Jaws would be just a couple months later or a couple weeks later.
Mm-hmm. Little teaser, there's a new show coming out very soon on this very feed where Jaws will be the subject of the very first episode, so stay tuned. Looking forward to that. Some new voices in this show, so I'll talk about it a little more later on, but a little tease there. And then O'Banion comes back to tell the tale of getting a shotgun pulled on him. Oh, God, these cars are...
Yeah.
This green truck taking him through the car wash.
Kids having to sit through the car wash. That's great.
Oh, that's nice of them. They got them dirty. Now they're getting them clean.
Did you ever have a truck?
No, not a truck like that.
Yeah, I briefly drove a GMC truck with a cab and had the gas tanks on both sides. That was a gas pig.
Wow. Yeah, the biggest gas eater I had was an Envoy. I had 7-passenger for a while. And that was when gas was really expensive back in the... Back in the 20... Around 2009 and there. $80 twice a week to fill up that thing because of my commute and everything. Not fun.
To quote Ric Flair, good Lord, that's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But mileage and business expenses, wow.
Yeah, two kids with a lot of shit. That's really what it was. That's why I had it. And, you know, they show up at Pickford's house and now, you know.
Yeah, Pickford's mom has got it going on.
Yeah, with that tennis outfit there. And then Sabrina's getting, it looks like Jody took a shining to Sabrina. Never kind of understood this. Like, why does this girl stand out to her?
I think it's kind of like just, She and Mitch, because she's looking out for her brother already. Yeah. And she could see herself in this and she wants to. A lot of this movie is about like preparing Mitch, mm-hmm. and people looking out for him. And this is why I see it from Linklater's perspective. It's that, you know, these are the upperclassmen who are really cool. Like, yeah. When I was going into high school, I don't have very many memories of the people who were seniors that year. Maybe a couple of them, but not in a way like, oh, that was my big bro or my big sis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a fun secret here with the incense and the, I don't know what they're doing with that glass thing. Hiding the weed from the parents.
But yeah, Pink Floyd is basically friends with everybody in this movie. He's mm-hmm. he's the hero.
Yeah. And a little fatal flaw here happens. The catalyst, the inciting incident, if you will, in terms of a screenwriter. And there's the guy delivering kegs of beer for some reason to this kid's house.
Beer guy got here too early.
Yeah. I would have been so fucking pissed at this guy.
Yeah, I'd be dead.
Like the Alice Cooper poster? Yeah. Oh, God. That's the worst.
Kiss poster, Alice Cooper poster, Pink Floyd poster. Lots and lots of weed all day. You know, the kind of the elephant in the room is that there should be Led Zeppelin every square inch of this movie, and there is not, because Zeppelin didn't want to use their rights in any of these films. These, and it sucks.
Yeah, so he's like, yeah, I want to get early. There's this woman I'm trying. Pickford's just like, dude. Yep, sorry for the English. Wrong, Mr. Pickford. That'll teach you to be early on for things.
At leisure suit. My gosh.
I wonder where the Pickfords were going for the weekend. She was like, come on, let's go.
Where do Austin, the people who live in the suburbs of Austin, Texas, go for weekend trips?
I don't know. I have to find out. And here, Michelle is putting some makeup on a statue here, and everybody's changed for the night. You know, you get out of your stuff that you wore to school, so nobody sees you in the same clothes.
Right. So, what song is going on here?
Oh, this is Free Ride.
Edgar Winter Group.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Another great song. Another song you just, after you see this movie, it's one of those songs you can't untangle. Mm-hmm. You know, it is part of this film.
Our first glimpse of Wooderson. Mm-hmm. There you go. Yeah. I love the chiffon. The jeans are so tight, they have to use pliers to get them on.
Pliers. Yeah. all the little details of this film are just really, really interesting to see.
Did you have like a cruising area, like, you know, people would cruise a main road in your?
We did, yeah. We had Sunrise and Greenback here in Citrus Heights, where everybody who could drive would drive, and I wasn't really part of that scene, so I would hear about it. But it was kind of the happening cruise, the cruise, as it were. And oh my gosh, they're going to shut down the cruise. Yeah. I don't know.
We had a few different ones. There was Central Avenue, which went all the way from Yonkers to White Plains, went through several towns. They used to be, you know, one night of the week would be like all motorcycles, and, you know, back then you had the Guidos with their IROCs going up and down, and
the IROC,
you know. And then we had North Avenue, where
did you ever ask J.R. Arsenio D'Amato if he owned a Chevy IROC?
He probably did. I never had an Eureka clone.
Yeah, maybe he had a Fiero. I don't know. The International Race of Champions. That was what an IROC was. There was the Trans Ams, the Camaros. So many great muscle cars back then.
Here's a.
My dad had a Trans Am a la Smokey and the Bandit.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
And my stepdad had one too, which was really funny. It was a huge thing in the late 70s, early 80s. It was kind of a ubiquitous thing that mm-hmm. people would have. And it had a T-top. Oh my gosh, yeah. It had a T-top.
My buddy had it. Mm-hmm. And here they are. They got Kramer cornered. He's pitching baseball, and they're just going to wait for him after the game. And Carl, again, is being a dick friend, saying, could you go that way so that you know, so they get you and not us, basically.
Imagine the humidity.
Oh, God. You know, that, with the long hair under that baseball hat.
Rawlings mitt. Do you remember any of your old Little League mitts?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember them, yeah. Rawlings. I was a second baseman, actually. It was my main position.
I played first. Mm-hmm. I played first base, and I had a Spalding mitt.
Ah. I remember what I had.
Remember putting the pocket. You know, you got the ball and you tied up the mitt and you soaked it and you had a pocket in your mitt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was more of a hitting for average and stolen base guy myself. I wasn't really a power hitter back then.
I couldn't hit.
Oh.
I could not hit a curve I couldn't hit at all. So I went out for baseball. My freshman year, I played Little League up till then, but I just was never a good hitter at all. And I didn't put in the time to it that I did into other things like track and field or football. But mm-hmm. I wish that's maybe a regret. I didn't spend enough time with the batting cages.
Yeah.
I couldn't pick up. I was lefty hitter, too.
Oh,
I should have been better. You know what I really should have done is learn to pitch mm-hmm. as a left-hander.
Yeah, yeah. My son's left-handed. I got to get him into it hopefully soon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was – I will. Go ahead.
Well, just here's what I'm talking about, the culture of high school football in the town.
Yeah, this guy knows.
You know, the old people, this is their thing.
13 starts coming back, 22 Letterman, looking tough. And, you know, Floyd is humoring these old people here. Yeah, I played baseball, Little League. I played in my grammar school team. And then freshman year, my high school didn't have a freshman team yet. They didn't get it till I was a senior. So they really only took pitchers from the freshman class.
Right.
So once I found that out, it kind of took my heart out of it. I was like, I ain't going to make it. So I didn't give my all. Kind of, that's the regret I have.
Yeah, I mean, we can all look back and I should have done this one little thing, but yeah. We are who we are because of the choices we made. Look at that. There's the reference to the bicentennial, and mm-hmm. Mitch kind of gives himself up here.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, let's get this shit over with.
And another great Alice Cooper song here, which I always equate to this scene too. No More Mr. Nice Guy. The great
man.
Look at Affleck. I swear to God, O'Banion's got a hard on right now.
Yeah, it's really creepy how much these guys are all into it, but especially him. Mm-hmm. You know, I can remember because I had to deal with this twice in my life. I went to a junior high school that was a 7th, 8th, and 9th grade junior high in Utah. And so when you're 7th grade, the 9th graders are really excited to get into it. And then the next year I came out to California, I went to a private school for 8th grade. And then in 9th grade, I went to the Folsom High School, the public high school. And so it was 9th through 12th there. Seniors are all wanting to get their licks in. You know, they'd can you. That was the big thing, throw into the garbage can. Didn't quite have the paddling.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just it's really rubbing me the wrong way, so to speak, how much these guys are getting into it.
We had paddles in my fraternity, but you know, we are you know, I talked about this on the Animal House show I did with D'Amato. I'm actually in Delta Tau Chi, which is the same fraternity. It's locals though. We weren't affiliated with any other nationals, but you know, we followed the tradition. You know, you give your big brother a paddle, and I have a couple of them. And we'd have a paddle there, like, right before your induction. And we would take the first guy. Everybody else is blindfolded. And somebody always had a leather jacket. And we'd say, okay, as soon as you hear the paddle hit something, say, thank you, sir, may I have another. And we'd hit the leather jacket. So we didn't actually paddle them. But we basically made the guys who went, like, you know, second, third, fourth, shit themselves. Thinking they were going to get paddled. It was more mind-fucking than anything.
It's definitely mind-fucking, but still.
Although it's funny though, we would once we were in, we would smack each other with the paddles.
here's Mitch touching his face a lot. Yeah. Watching. You know how you have this connection between the two main characters, I think, or the two.
It's a parallel to Michelle and Jody and Sabrina as Pink and Mitch. They kind of show like the two perspectives, I guess. The guy's a dick.
He is, but you know, he gets his own.
But you know, I'm glad he's on my side. Basically, he's somebody you know you want him, on your O line.
Huh? Do they even care about eligibility? Athletic? can you be a senior? A varsity football player for 3 years? I don't know.
That's true, though. Your ass probably gets so numb after they smack the living shit out of you.
So the only time I got paddled was in second grade, which was at a Christian school. And I did some kind of I don't remember exactly what I did, but I think I heard some kind of – kids would call it a meme now, but it was – I did some kind of song about Popeye the Sailor Man and rhymed it with ass. And it was at a Christian or a Baptist elementary school, and I got paddled for it by the administrator.
Huh?
But not a hazing thing. It was more of a punishment thing. And
which is what
like a ride.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my grandmother was a school teacher. She used to say when kids got out of line, she'd say, you want a hot one or a cold one? You never asked for a hot one.
All right, so Mitch is go ahead.
No, I was just saying people don't know each other's name. They all call each other man. Hey man, what's up man?
Yeah,
how you doing, man?
And it's like you know how Goodfellas says the F word a record number of times. This movie says man almost 300 times.
Another great tune, Lowrider, which is actually one of my fraternity brothers' nicknames.
Lowrider, mm-hmm. Hey man, mm-hmm. Let's see. Edwin Starr War was mm-hmm. the name of the band. Did Low Run.
As a classic. There's mm-hmm. Nicky Cat, actually the actor, at that car. Yeah, they're just all cruising around and, you know.
So my high school, I remember there were a lot of Volkswagen Bugs. A lot.
Mm-hmm.
You were class of 90, right? Oh,
yeah.
There's a thing. Mm-hmm. Wow. You were 90. I was 89. So mm-hmm. This is the one with Renee Zellweger, I believe. Okay. Is in this scene.
All right. Yeah, they're talking about, what'd she say? I'm not going to get mad. She called you a bitch and you a slut. What? That bitch! She's like laughing about it. She's like, she called me a slut? See how she's like laughing. She's like, oh, wait, you're mad? Sorry. You said you weren't.
It's funny how much smoking there is in this, too. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, juniors in high school smoking. Imagine that these days.
No, you don't see them. Thank God.
We had a smoking alley on campus the first couple years I was in high school.
Yeah, we couldn't smoke on campus. It was one senior year, we would drive off campus during free periods to go have a cig.
So I smoked for a long time, and then I quit, and then I started smoking again, and then I quit again. It's weird because when you're in it, you don't think much of it. But when you're not smoking, you've quit smoking, you've given up. You like, why was I ever? How did I ever rationalize doing that?
Yeah.
And the scent on your clothes. Mm-hmm. And yet, you know, I've quit smoking within the last 6 months, and from the second time of smoking. And I tell you, there are times where I just miss it. I miss the ritual of it, the whole thing.
Yeah. I think, here's Wooderson, our introduction to him, Matthew McConaughey. He's like, how's it going, man? Pretty good.
Yeah, so think of you got the post-high school guy, mm-hmm. the real dinosaur, you know, the guy that's hanging out with the younger generation. You got the guy going into being a senior and the guy going into being a ninth grader. So you have three totally different perspectives here. Pretty unlikely.
You got to join on you? Not with me. It'd be much cooler if you did.
I mean, what an amazing performance. Iconic role.
Here. All right. Made his whole career. All right. Yes, it did. Yeah, one good thing about this whole quarantine thing is it really cut down my smoking, which is good. That was I mainly would do it at work, but I'm home during the day with my kids. I don't want to go out there, so I really wait till they go to bed.
Well, what about your girlfriend? Does she smoke?
No. She used to, but years ago. But yeah, she's got asthma, so I don't smoke around her. So, you know, I'm not heavy at all. I just, you know, I have that one usually late at night, and mm-hmm. that kind of satiates me. And, you know, hopefully, I'll be able to throw them away one day.
Yeah. Up until, and I will say until February, I was still smoking approximately 2 packs a week.
Okay. Yeah.
So about seven to 10 a day would be my max. But really it was about 5 to 7 a day was kind of the average.
Yeah. That's usually about me.
Now they're all... it was a work thing. You know, if you have a break, that's, it's good to do it. And it's, mm-hmm. I think it's part of the ritual, although, boy, there are times, especially when I've had a beer or two, it's like, oh,
yeah,
it would be so much better if I had a cigarette right now.
Yep. So now they're all hanging out at the Emporium, which I guess is like, you know, a pool, foosball, hangout thing.
All ages.
Yeah, video
Everybody
games.
Everybody drink, no IDs. We have video game, you probably have Pong and pinball here.
Well, I think the Emporium, though, I think you have to kind of be somebody to hang out there. I mean, anybody could go there, but... I think in order to be like in, you have to be like one of the, like he can get in there, but then his friends probably wouldn't be able to, would not be welcome here probably. They might get shunned or made fun of or something.
Every time I see Michelle in this movie, I want to say Multipass. Do you remember her song from like 1993 or whatever it was, her minor league hit that she had?
No.
It's called The Gentleman Who Fell.
Ah.
Gentleman Who Fell. It was on radio here.
So they painted Kiss on the statues. Stoned out Rory Cochrane, who went on to do Empire Records not long after this, I think.
Yes. That's the other movie he did. Mm-hmm. And that would be a good one for us to do, too. So Kiss, what's your first memory of Kiss in the 70s or 80s?
My cousin Johnny, who's 3 years older than me, had a lot of Kiss stuff on his walls. So I had the Peter Criss album, you know, when I had the albums with all the individuals.
Right.
Yeah,
right. The solo albums. That's
I had that one. I think it might still be at my parents' house. I'd have to check. But, you know, people are showing up at Pickford's, even though, you know, this isn't back. You know, nobody could have tweeted out that the party was off.
Right, right. It's all word of mouth.
That's a good thing about
Vicks. These wigs. Oh, Mr. Pickford, mm-hmm. He's got it going on.
And the A-track there.
Oh, yeah. Look at that dashboard.
And the homemade bong in the car.
Who's in the back seat? Slater. She had Pickford, Slater, and who else was in that car?
What's his face? Benny.
That's right. That's right. All right. So here's all the It girls at the drive-thru.
Mm-hmm.
We really haven't seen... Floyd's girlfriend throughout much of the film. It's like they're kind of
separate.
Saying hook up later. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's almost, well, we're not really following her. She's just kind of there. Or we know that she's looming. And then four guys and four girls.
All right. Check you later.
Slater ruins it for everybody.
Get off my case, man.
Play it cool. Yeah, he's like baby Benicio del Toro.
Yes. But he's got a lot of great like little monologues throughout the thing, mm-hmm. throughout the movie. Hey, man, it's quality, not quantity.
But yeah, he is a one-dimensional, it's marijuana, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
This character. Although, you know, great look, and you definitely... you know, I think of him when I think of this movie. Oh, look at this dance.
Love Hurts playing by Nazareth.
Ah.
Yeah, this is that typical. And it's so funny how the girls are so much taller than him.
I remember seventh grade, my mm-hmm. first dance.
Mm-hmm.
And the big hits were things like Stevie Nicks' Stand Back.
Wow.
I can't remember any of the slow dances, but I remember that one.
Here's the makeup. Here's the makeup. Yeah. And Hirschfelder's totally getting cock-blocked here by his buddies. I mean, I'm sorry, man. If I was going in freshman year and I'm making out with a girl, I am not leaving her for these two dipshits.
No. Nope. There would have to be consequences or something for me to be leaving that. Eighth grade was all about we used to call it lip,
mm-hmm.
hooking up with cheap lip.
Yeah, and look at Carl sitting here trying to be the man. You wouldn't know. he was getting there. You wouldn't even know if you had it.
These guys in their tough skins.
Yeah. Carl probably didn't lose his virginity in high school, I'm thinking.
Probably not. Probably not. He ended up being the narc.
Yeah. Where all the girls be putting out in high school. Oh, Paranoid. Another great song.
But... you know, fantastic. Black Sabbath, Bruce Allen. So, have you been watching this, I forget what it's called, Celebrity Watch Along, I think, on Fox?
No, not really. I mean,
watch famous people watch TV is basically what it is.
Well, it's cheap and it's called Slow TV, so.
Very cheap. It's very cheap. It's let's make something and fill up an hour of prime time. But Ozzy is on it. Ozzy is kind of stealing the show for me because you get to see kind of a glimpse behind the curtain, much like you did with the Osbournes. Kelly and Sharon are the mouths, but Ozzy is the star of the show just by being there and being funny, hanging out, wearing what he wears, and Ozzy Osbourne hanging out with this ventriloquist puppet. It's pretty funny. So, but anyway, yeah, here we go. They've been cornered, and this is going to really hurt. Deliverance, the summer of deliverance.
You know, it's funny as too, is like, you know, if you just surrender, you're going to get it. If you make me run, I'm going to beat you more. And that's kind of what
they're
doing. And these two are just watching. Some friends, some brothers in arms you are.
Oof. This is dark.
Yeah.
So this feels like, what's the Sean Penn movie? Dead Man Walking.
And how these girls just end up here? Like if you're out cruising, why are you in this little corner and it looks like, what, they're near like a trailer park or something? What the hell's going on?
I think this is beer in the trunk. This is the beer in the trunk scene?
Yeah.
Okay.
I love Benny in this scene. Oh my God, that's a lot of beer.
I once had a fridge like that. Just every square inch was my garage fridge used to have that. But not anymore.
Give me a beer. Come on.
All that beer. Lone Star, of course. Mm-hmm. And Lone Star always makes me think of True Detective season one.
What are you wasting a beer on them for? I love that. And they have an opener right there?
Right on the hood.
Benny tries to twist, and he throws a beer. He's like, I just wasted another fucking beer. Benny, don't mess with Benny's beer.
Yeah, this guy's whole, I mean, I know he's on the football team. His whole thing is women. He is the Lothario throughout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could definitely tell. You know, oh, he's hit that before.
Yeah. Reminds me of a guy I went to high school with, of course. Look at that engine.
Positrac, Alba, 750, Elbra intakes, 4 over 30, 11 to 1, pop up pistons, turbojet, 390 horsepower. I got this out of the comic book, man, with the sea monkeys.
What a great performance.
Yes. Oh my God. He just is Wooderson. Nothing like a pissing contest between muscle car heads there.
Such a big deal though. I mean, cars were, mm-hmm. What did you drive in high school?
Oh God. I didn't get my license as a senior. I had a Nissan Sentra. Jeez.
Yeah. I mean, the pieces of shit that we had, I had a Chevy Monza, which was kind of like, you know, if you've ever seen the Ford Mustang II. It was a smaller car that, you know, it was kind of like a Camaro, I don't know, like a stillborn Camaro, basically. It was a terrible car. That was my first one. And then I had a 78 Toyota Corolla right after that that I got for $300.
Yeah,
drove down to Stockton once, and it, oh, there he is, touching his nose.
This is a big touching nose scene.
Come on, Mitch.
And the kindred spirits right here, both the freshmen here, see each other like, what are you doing here? What are you doing here?
I'm just going to, you know, we have this game, the ding game, when we are listening to a podcast and the host says, or like, so we go ding. So every time, ding, every time he touches his face or his hair, I'm going to say ding.
Wow. If you listen to any of my shows, ding. You probably say ding a lot. I'm a big Ann and
ding,
and, you know.
You know, like ding. Sorry. I know. I used to, in the early days of my podcasting, I used to go through and cut out every pause or every, I used to be very, very circumspect about the whole thing. Obsessive almost,
that's,
you know?
A lot of work.
It was so much work. Eventually I just figured, I don't care anymore. I'm just going to put out the whole deal and try to be cognizant of it where I am and try not to stutter or stammer or say, and just hit the mute button more frequently.
Now, here are these guys, these eighth graders or freshmen, whatever they call it, now walking. Now, if you're Hirschfelder, the kid, okay, first of all, they cock block him and get him out of the right. Dance. They leave him to get licks, and yet he shares the beer
and
with
he
them.
He got the worst of it and got a beer out of it. Then.
And then Carl, the dick, again, throws the ball in the air and it smashes everywhere. Oh, I would not have been friends with those guys.
No, Carl's poor, and the poor kid never gets it. Does he? Does he ever get it in this film?
No.
Ah.
I think we have the classic Wooderson line about to come up in this right here.
There are a couple. I mean, like I said, every Wooderson scene is just magnificent. Mm-hmm. Iconic. Ah.
Yeah, but this ding. Is the, but this is the this is the best the most iconic line of his. That's where all the girls are, right, man? I keep working. Listen, some dipshit. And I love Pink's belt buckle there with the pipe.
Yeah, it's a pipe belt buckle. Jeez, how skinny he is.
How's this your freshman chicks looking? Wood, you're going to end up in jail sometime soon. No, man, let me tell you, right? That's what I love about these high school girls, man.
I get older. Here it comes.
They stay the same age.
All magnificent. Right.
And he's just so proud of himself as he says it, too.
Got cigarettes rolled up into his left shirt sleeve. Drinking I don't know what he's drinking. It's probably Lone Star, but in real world, it would be Coors or something.
Yeah, right. And also, it's 76, so he's old 76, enough to drink.
Right.
Because he's you know, he's got to be like 22, whatever it is.
Yep.
At least 23.
And yeah, underage drinking, that will, there will be a crucial scene coming up in this film.
Yeah.
Actually, really, really soon. It's a different sort of hazing, actually.
Yeah. All right, man. Who's bowling balls? This? Now, Tush by ZZ Top is playing.
Another classic song. I played this in my first band.
Ah.
I played this song.
Oh, God. Yeah. Smoking in the car, too. Between cigarettes and everything, you always got, like, ashes flying everywhere.
Yep. Going from the front to the back seat.
Mm-hmm. I remember flicking a cigarette out the passenger side window, and it flew back in the back seat and hit my friend Billy.
Oh, my gosh.
I was like, ow, Dick, what? You hit me a cigarette? I said, no, I didn't.
Oh, look out for the mailboxes here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, everybody does something like this sometime in their life. And Mitch is like, oh, God, I mean, what the hell is happening here?
Yeah, I love ZZ Top. Do you like LaGrange? Have you heard that song?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That one, I played a pinball game that LaGrange was the main soundtrack for. I always think of. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Bicentennial or Stars and Stripes mailbox.
Americans. Remember? Mitch is like, he's starting to relax, have a good time. They're like, all right, now it's your turn, man. Oh, get the bowling ball.
Oh, no. This poor kid. So much peer pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Pink's puka shells.
Yeah.
It's again, the little details of this film.
He throws it, goes right there, and they're all like, fuck.
Oh, you know, Pickford looks like Matt Riddle.
Yeah, a little bit. Bro.
So does Mitch. Mitch looks like Matt Riddle.
It's like a stereotypical guy with hair, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, going on a little beer around here. A little pit stop.
62 cents, Andy.
I remember going to get beer and stuff. I remember there's one place we used to go to and say, how old are you? So, I remember one time my friend goes, 18. He goes, that's the wrong answer. What? And he goes, 21. That's the right answer. Well, we had another place, this old Italian guy called Calvi's. And Mr. Calvi, you know, go, okay, I'm going to sell you two liters of beer. But you got to make them my one promise. You're not drinking or driving, okay? Okay, good. Good old Mr. Calvi. God rest his soul, because he's got to be dead by now.
He's got to be dead.
But sometimes, like, it was funny, his house, like, the store was, like, the front of his house. So, like, if he had the door open, he just comes in sometimes at, like, 5 o'clock. The man's back there eating dinner. Was like, and you walk in the door, you hear the bell go, oh, I come, hold on a second. He, like, comes out, he has, like, a napkin in his shirt. Okay, I sell.
Was that, where's that, upstate?
Other than Yonkers.
Oh. Yonkers, okay. Mm-hmm. Mr. Calvi was neighbors with Neil Simon, apparently. Huh, look at this guy.
A little Randy Quaid action here.
Yeah.
Tamper mailboxes, federal offense. Felony.
So this is the guy who had the Stars and Stripes mailbox, probably.
Yeah. He caught up with them. It's like, they're like, let's get the fuck out of here.
The thing about Pink is recognizable as the quarterback, though, at this point.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a small town. You got to recognize, how many orange cars are there in this town? Another great song, Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo.
Yes, my favorite Mean Gene Okerlund song.
Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo.
Mm-hmm. Rick Derringer.
I They're all talking about the Warren Commission.
Smart kids are talking politics. I love it.
Play a little pool here. You a pool player?
You know, I'm terrible at pool. My best friend in college had a pool table, so we'd play it here and there. But I was kind of an easy mark, so I would just kind of go along with it. But no, I won't go to a bar and play pool. I'll just enjoy it.
I used to play.
I'm more of a pinball guy.
Yeah. I was, you know, before we were old enough to drink, we would go to the pool hall, you know. It was like $5 each or whatever. You had a few, got a couple of hours on the tables, but those were the long ones. But then I started working in a bowling alley, and we had a bar, and we had a bar-sized table, you know, a little smaller one. And, you know, then I started bartending, so I started playing a lot. I got pretty damn good at it, too.
Nice.
Got me in as a boy with, you know, right before I pledged my fraternity, I teamed up with one of the brothers one night, and we held the table all night. And he was like one of the guys who's like the real dick to the pledges. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the night, he goes, you're fucking cool, man. You know what? I'll tell you, nobody's going to fuck with you during pledging. I'll make sure. I was like, damn.
Right on. Well, he probably wanted to, you know, keep you close at so you could run the tables, you know, yeah. And own pool for later. Nice job.
Yeah, we did play some.
All these things we're learning about you. This is taking me back. And then you became the cool DJ.
Well, a DJ, yes. Cool? I don't know.
Anyway.
I was never a very good one. I was more of a button pusher.
Imagine 18 being the age to drink. My goodness. I would have gotten in so much trouble.
Here's the pregnant mom buying beer while smoking a cigarette. You know, and he's doing the classic thing where, you know what, you're going to buy something that you're not supposed to or you don't want to see, you know? He puts a Slim Jim or something on top of the beer. It's like buying condoms. Like you buy like three other things just so you're not just buying condoms.
Right.
And he's using the Wooderson lines on the guy.
This guy, yeah, he's using his exactly. He's assuming that character, which is pretty funny.
This guy's like in this job he like probably hates.
Yeah, but wow. Imagine how cool Mitch must feel right now.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like 13, 14 years old, bought a six-pack of beer without flicking an
He's
eye.
He's totally transcended from his old friends here.
And they're like, how'd you get a six? You're in the Emporium, man? Yeah, if you guys weren't such fucking pussies and assholes, you might be over there too.
Man, Carl is missing out.
Yeah. The tall guy, I don't even know his name. He's just along for the ride.
No, he's the third. He's the extra guy.
Yeah. Slow Rides playing.
Fog Hat.
Mm-hmm. Another song that every time I hear it, I can't. This is the movie in my head.
Yeah. It's again, this movie, late 70s. Mm-hmm. Freaks and Geeks, just a couple years later. Mm-hmm. Freaks and Geeks is 79. So I think that would be a great kind of sequel for this.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what happens to Mitch a couple years later? That, you know, he becomes
Pink, probably.
I don't know. I'm trying to think what he would be in this. Maybe he does. Although, you know, if he's being Richard Linklater,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, he's maybe more the Adam Goldberg character.
Yeah. And there's Mitch, you know, that's a sign of acceptance. You know, they give you a beer. Not only did you go on the beer run, but you get to keep one, and you know, as your little pay. And you know, now they're the plot to take down O'Banion is in effect.
So, speaking of those kiss statues that we were talking about, I was thinking my mom had a friend whose daughter had all of the Kiss solo albums on her wall, mounted on her wall. So I remember that memory. But Gene Simmons ended up buying the statues, the War Hero statues that Michelle customized.
Oh, that's awesome. That's why it's good to be me.
Gene Simmons is hilarious.
Mm-hmm. I talked to Meatloaf about Gene Simmons once.
It's pretty crazy how ingratiated Mitch is with the seniors here. It's kind of, I don't know. hard for me to buy yeah. into it. It's Linkletter's memory.
Yeah, and Benji here is there getting giving him the skinny, you know, that chick's into you. Gotta play it cool though. And and O'Banion is so stupid he doesn't realize that he's walking into it's a trap.
Yeah. Very, very Akbar. Poor Carl though. Carl is almost as non sympathetic as O'Banion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. At this point, you want to see Carl get licks.
Nope.
And they're all crowding out watching the show here. Do you think Mitch spilled the beans yet? To tell the Pink and them or no? This first lick,
I think so.
Is dedicated to your mother. Yeah, see, though, they don't get him when he does, you know, what if he doesn't take two practice swings? He would have hit him already.
Right, right. He would have had, Carl would have had to eat some before, but.
Oh, dump pain on him.
Fuck you. I get it. I get it.
You know these kids are dead, like, you know, the next day.
Yeah. Like, what else does O'Banion have to live for? He's not going to give up on this easily. Yeah. It's not over.
You reap what you sow, kids.
Life's going to be a living hell.
Yeah.
What kind of car is that?
Oh, I don't know. And, you know, everybody's laughing at O'Banion. This is total embarrassment. This totally kills his cred. You just don't know how to deal. You're just so embarrassed right now.
One thing, there's not a lot of Southern accents in this movie.
Yeah. And he goes
McConaughey
after,
to a point. But.
Yeah. He goes after Mitch. Mitch stands his ground pretty good. Because, you know, nobody really likes O'Banion. They just deal with him.
No. Yeah. Oh, he broke his paddle.
Oh,
man. Look at that primer color. What is that, a Chevelle? I don't know. Nova.
Top notch.
And we never saw him again.
Mm-hmm. Now, did I blink and miss Renee Zellweger already?
I think so. I think her time has come and gone. Okay. She was just like an extra in one of the scenes with the girls driving.
Oh, okay. Top notch. Oh. That looks like a good greasy hamburger there.
Where's Fat Burger? I'm in Texas. I want a Fat Burger.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, this carpet match the drapes.
Oh yeah. Not to worry. There's a new Fiesta making as we speak. It's out at the Moon Tower, full of kegs. Everybody's going to be there. You ought to come. And they're all like,
"She's in."
Yeah, well, y'all have ditched two geeks in the car, but we'll talk about that later. Okay, but now let's go.
That's just straight up iconic.
Yes. And they're both sitting there like, what the hell? I love those redheads, man.
I know you, bro.
You used to work at All American Burger.
This is not the best breakfast I've ever had. Oh, wait. So that's the wrong movie.
Yes, I know. Hold on. That might be on my list. I don't know. Maybe I'll get to that one day.
Not done Fast Times? Oh.
No?
Oh, my.
No, there's so... Oh, my. Todd, there are so many movies I want to get to.
I think Singles is the next one I'm down for.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you are. You have that reserved. I have a...
Same director, mm-hmm. Cameron.
Yeah, another great soundtrack.
Yeah, kind of a defining soundtrack for me, honestly. Mm-hmm. But I'm a little older. Well, I mean, it was right on the cusp of me in college, so mm-hmm. that was a big deal for music for me, was high school into college. All right, mm-hmm. Drag Racing. Feels like there's no cops in this movie.
No, I don't know if we see one.
Cops ran movie. My town. Cops ran Folsom, because we had the prison, so there was maybe a little bit higher police presence than you would normally have in a smaller town.
Yeah. Now we're out here at the Moon Tower.
So the Pickford party and the kegs got redirected here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. I don't know. I think Ben got in trouble because he didn't end up delivering the kegs. Unless they had Ben on speed dial or something. Yeah, there's a statue in New Rochelle that would get hit every year by Iona Prep guys, because we had a rivalry. Our Turkey Bowl was with New Rochelle High School. So they would always get this one statue. I'm trying to remember the name of it, but it was a... They would always hit it with maroon and gold paint. And they always had a guard, usually had a guard, but there was always something, some shenanigans going on.
Yeah. Yeah, our school had our rivals too. Folsom had its rival in El Dorado Hills is Oak Ridge High School. The rich kids went to that school. It was just a little bit higher up, you know. So I think of upstate New York and a lot of cliches and plays. I did a show, or I did a sophomore, I think it was my sophomore year, and New Rochelle was actually one of the songs in that play was called that, which is pretty funny.
Yeah.
I don't remember what the play was, though.
Sounds like something Cole Porter would do.
Yeah, it was maybe a little bit later.
That's New Rochelle. That's where Dick Van Dyke lived, in the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Oh, Rob.
And here, you know, all he does is make a little comment about somebody taking, you know, some
research. Here's our fight scene, yeah.
Coming up, yeah. This guy's a total dick.
He is, but he still wins the fight.
Yeah. Like, he doesn't go to their school either, I don't think so. Like, what the hell is he doing here? He's like townie. Came
here. Chew bubblegum. No, wrong guy.
Yeah, but similar. Everybody's just hanging out in their little cliques.
I remember these big cake parties, though.
Yeah, we had, there's the Bronx River Parkway that goes, like, similar to Central Avenue, goes all the way from Yonkers to White Plains, and there was a bike path that would go along with it, and you'd be able to go in there because there was no lights. And you'd sit there near the bike path and drink at night because the cops really couldn't see in. And, you know, depending on what town, because the border is the river, you know, Yonkers cops didn't really bother you because they had better things to do. And Bronxville cops didn't have anything better to do, but they couldn't come over the line. How many beers you had? 4. You're dead, man. God, I don't know if I could climb this. I don't like heights.
No, me either. He's like 78 pounds.
Yeah, soaking wet. Super dominant male in 50s greaser uniform.
Oh, I hate it, guys. Pretentious, you know, the kind of guy I probably was like, if I'm being honest, you know. And he's an actor I enjoy. I enjoy him in other stuff.
Yeah.
It's like the Jason Schwartzman's evil twin.
And he turns into like almost like a Woody Allen impression here.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. In Texas. Austin, Texas. You know, kind of guy is, I can't believe I'm here in this town. He's probably smarter and better than most of the people in his class. But I don't know. I always felt kind of a why is this guy considered one of the focal characters of the movie?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, Peter Frampton.
Oh, yeah. I saw Peter Frampton years ago.
Really? Right on. So I'm friends with this guy. His name is Frank Hannon, and he's a guitar player from the band Tesla. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
Yep, no Tesla. And, love and song.
Same band. And his idol is Peter Frampton. So you hear a little bit of Peter Frampton in all his playing. And so when he's off the road with Tesla, he has this combo band he plays with, the Frank Hannon band, and he does this 20-minute long version of Do You Feel Like We Do with the talk box and everything. It's just so good. I think of how big Peter Frampton was in the mid-70s. Oh, Frampton Comes Alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I saw him with he opened up, and John Waite was the other opening band for Journey with Steve O'Derry. Or Terry, whatever his name was the guy that after Steve Perry,
right? Not the Filipino dude, no. Not Pinnell. I forget his name. But yeah, Journey's an interesting case now nowadays.
Yeah.
They fired a couple of the other guys.
I heard that on SiriusXM, like Randy Jackson's the bassist now.
Yeah. Yeah. This is not Journey, but Journey was about as big as anything there was in high school. Look at that.
Doing a funnel the totally wrong way.
What's your favorite Parker Posey performance?
Oh, God. I'm trying to remember now.
I'm a big fan of the Christopher Guest improv movies. Mm-hmm. Best in Show is probably the best one of those in general, but she's really good in Waiting for Guffman. Have you ever seen that movie? Waiting for Guffman?
No, I actually didn't.
Oh, you know, I would recommend that. Mm-hmm. That would be a good kind of journey for you. Waiting for Guffman, Best in Show, mm-hmm. and then Mighty Wind, that trilogy there.
I've heard For Your Consideration, I think.
Yeah. Your Consideration is okay. The other three are really good, and they're all mostly improvised, which is pretty crazy.
I actually enjoyed her in Scream 3, believe it or not, when she played the actress playing Gale Weathers in the movie.
Uh-huh. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Here's a little heart-to-heart between Benny and Pink, where Benny's like, dude, basically telling him, you're the friggin' quarterback. Sign the goddamn thing. Nobody quits senior year.
You think you're better than us, man.
It's like, don't mess it up. We got a shot at state.
Oh, I used to think that was the biggest thing in the world was high school athletics and your state championships or your section. We had section titles. It was such a big deal back then.
Excuse me. Yeah, he's just, you know, stop being so damn selfish, pal.
And so, Friday Night Lights, when does that take place? I haven't seen that movie or TV show.
No, I think that's takes place current day.
Okay.
Because, I mean, that Varsity Blues, all those things.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. I think I've said this before. Friend of mine did a song on the Varsity Blues soundtrack.
Yeah. It's Cherry Bomb played by the Runaways.
Joan Jett, Runaways, yep. Yeah.
All the drunk girls falling over themselves. They always had that at parties. You know, the hot girls shit face, they just trip and be stupid and everybody just doesn't give them any crap because they're hot and pretty.
Yeah, you get kind of a extended leash if you were the prettiest girl in the school.
Here's Michelle singing.
Yep. Got her finger picking pattern. I can't tell what kind of guitar there it is. They're being very careful not to show the headstock of it.
And this is
it was a Mila Jojovich original song that she was performing.
Here comes another one of Slater's monologues. George Washington, man, he was in a cult. Yeah. The cult was in the aliens, man.
He grew hip, man.
Yeah. She was a hip lady. The 50s were boring. The 60s rocked. The 70s.
I remember this theory. And then the 80s. Oh, yeah, the 80s, it's gory because it's 20 years later, it's the 60s over again, but different. The 80s were overrated.
Yeah.
It's funny. We thought whenever you're growing up, you think it's the best.
Mm-hmm.
But we had John Hughes.
Yeah. And we had, Back to the Future. There's Mike getting the beer muscles ready. And, Pink wandering out in the woods with Jody, the woman he spent more time with in this movie than his actual girlfriend.
Actual girlfriend, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She kind of started. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think she starts this.
And I'm going to speculate and say they end up together.
Yeah, later on.
Yep.
Now, Bernie,
maybe
man.
Not for all time, but for most of senior year.
Mm-hmm.
Multipass.
Slater talking about weed as a cash crop.
What? There would have been no Civil War.
Yeah. Washington, and George would come home and she'd have a fat bowl waiting for him, man. I love that.
How many stoners have you known like that?
Oh, God. I knew a lot.
I have known at least five
in my life. I'd probably say that.
And I still know they tend to be drummers, honestly.
Yeah.
As far as in my experience.
A lot of them named Chuck.
9/11 was an inside job, man.
All right. Now, this is a little funny because she kind of drags him out there. And now she's like, wait a second. Don't you have a girlfriend?
Right. You started. Yeah, I do. But and I can recall that in high school where we shouldn't do this, but I'm going to kiss you anyway. And you're going to go along with it. But she'll say, wait, should we do this? Okay.
There must be some, influx of weed in this town, too, because they're like an never-ending supply here.
Slater has a lot, and Pickford, too.
Yeah.
Where is this dude's girlfriend?
Yeah. Well, she's off getting drunk with Parker Posey.
I don't know. She's playing finger cuffs. Wait, that's a different movie. Sorry.
What's this waving of shit?
Not necessarily the views of Place to Be Nation Pop.
And our subsidiaries and blah, blah, blah.
maybe some of our other feeds, but.
It's quite possible.
Look at Mitch. Mitch is. With the older girl.
Yeah. Well, yeah, she's a sophomore. Oof.
Right.
You better watch out for those older men. And Mel just point blank. Let me ask you something. You going to be hitting that later? We're going to be a little wimp. He's like, how do you know I haven't already? They're like, what?
this is the part where you give your buddy Trojans. You know, you slide the condoms over to your friend. Look at that shirt. Yeah, that shirt is something else. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mel's shirt and Mitch's shirt.
They have all these wingmen, basically. Yeah. Darla can't even walk straight. Oh, chewing gum and drinking beer. Ugh, that doesn't work for me.
No.
She's trying to haze her, and she's like, no, it's okay.
She's pledged to me.
I actually had something with one of my brothers one time when he tried to pledge somebody and told him not to when I was a pledge master. He's like, you can't tell me that. I'm like, I fucking guess I can. I'm the pledge master. He was being such a dick that I banned him from pledging for a week.
So I never went to university. Mm-hmm. How big of a deal was fraternity sorority at your school?
Well, I went to two schools. I went to University of Hartford. Which I didn't join a fraternity there. I pledged, but I didn't end up getting into one. And then my fraternity's Iona. I mean, it was big, but it wasn't like you would see in the movie big kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, we had a nice size Greek population, but it was different. Iona was primarily a commuter school back then, so everybody lived at home for the most part. We didn't have houses or anything. Oh, here we go. Right. Here's the big fight scene.
The big fight is coming up. Oof, but yeah, and I mean, Greek thing only works if you have, mm-hmm. Oh, there we go. Nice right.
Yeah, he gets a good shot in.
One shot. Yeah, if you are not living on campus, fraternity is not really a fraternity.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no, we're pretty tight and close. And, we had every Tuesday night, would be our meetings and everybody would be out at the bars because North Avenue is right there with a shit ton of bars. I mean, Hartford was definitely different. They didn't have frat houses either, but, they all lived together in apartments and stuff on campus. So, we'll see. My daughter says she's interested in joining a sorority, so we're going to have some long chats.
There are pros and cons.
Yeah, there are.
Stay down. Uh-oh.
There's Wooderson breaking up the fight.
Picking it up.
Yeah, Mike pretty much got his ass kicked. Tuesday's Gone. It's playing.
Old Skinner. Mm-hmm. It's the song about lament. I played a Skinner song at a wedding reception.
Wow.
So, yeah. My cousin's wedding reception, we played Simple Man.
Hmm. I'd love
Keg is tapped, bro.
I'll just see you like that, like the person who does the wedding singing at the weddings and like the Hangover. An old school.
Yes.
That guy. <Yeah. laughs> Hangover, that's on my list. I haven't gotten anybody yet to do that, but that's definite on my list.
I was at the Dan Band. I think that's the name of the group that plays at the reception there. They play all female fronted songs as a male band. But yeah, Hangover, I don't know. I was kind of burnt out on those films initially, but I should go back and rewatch them.
Yeah, two's not as bad as you think. Three is better. I haven't seen three as much, but one. The first Hangover movie is tremendous. Oh, my God, what a comedy.
Pretty classic, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of almost a iconic Vegas movie at this point.
Yeah. Well, the best part about it, and it's actually it's funny, too, is that in my side screenwriting stuff I do, the person I had taken some classes from, one of the examples she gave me was the Hangover, the original Hangover script to kind of learn from, because it's actually kind of like almost like not like a murder mystery, but these guys have to kind of figure out, what happened to them the night before. So they kind of have to, follow certain plot lines.
Yeah. Work backwards. Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot more, than a stupid comedy than you would think it would be.
And Todd Phillips, right? That's the guy? Mm-hmm. Joker.
Mm-hmm. Aerosmith, 3 weeks, right? Front row, babe. I guess the redhead.
Aerosmith played in 1976 in the summer. They played Dallas, Houston, and San Antonio. So I'm going to guess they're talking about the San Antonio show.
Houston.
Oh, Houston.
Yeah, I think they talk about the Houston show.
Okay. There we go.
What's going on, man?
Houston is a trip. That is a crowded, crowded city.
Yeah, I've never been there. I've lots of parts of this country I've yet to explore, and Texas is one of them I would like to get to someday.
I really like Dallas. I will say that.
All right. Now, here's the first time he sees his girlfriend out at the Moon Tower.
She's back.
And she's giving him looks, too. Now they decide to go smoke a joint on the 50-yard line at
the last kind of iconic scene. Mm-hmm. Where have you been, man? Oh.
Yeah, dude.
Her voice used to really bug me. And probably primarily in Chasing Amy, how shrill, grating it is.
I got shotgun, man. Hey, what's the leather? They're all hammered, drunk, stoned, whatever.
Where are the police?
Actually, we do see them soon.
Yeah, we do.
That is some stadium for high school. Jesus, Texas. there's some serious bell bottoms on pink right there.
There's the bell bottoms. Yep, you're right. They came back.
God, you break pink in half if you hit him.
Some of those football drills you'd have to go for late in the season. I used to play scrub defense and let the offense run their plays against me and line up against the nose tackle or whatever. You just take a beating for the greater glory, just praying practice would be done soon.
Yeah, we're doing what are those monkey flips? Oh my God. Oof. Yeah, we got in such a rhythm one time that the coach just didn't have a stop because we were on such a roll, me and the two guys I was doing it with. It was exhausting. Hold on.
Is he wearing he's wearing boots.
Yeah.
Lineman boots or
yeah. Hut. He's got good form.
I believed him as a, when he lined up to take his swings, he had a pretty good batting stance. I do not believe him as a quarterback.
Nah, yeah. Mike checking out his war wounds here. Let me ask you something.
I kind of wonder about him as a character. What's the purpose of him? Hmm. What's his greater tie-in, you relate to Mitch, you relate to Pink. Mike, I don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't.
You can kind of relate to Tony a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mike, that's so not me. First of all, I don't talk politics ever. I don't pay attention to it, really. And, I love writing, but I can never like write like that kind of stuff that he's talking about.
Remember how you, well, I don't know, because you went to an all-boys school, but we used to think so badly of the seniors who would date freshmen. You know,
no, we
kind of like
that.
The old dudes who would only, it's kind of like the mail order brides kind of thing.
Now, I dated, you know, I knew a lot of girls who were sophomores. So I had dated, were they sophomores or were they a year younger? I can't remember. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I tended to be a year or two younger. Mm-hmm. I never dated a girl in my own class till the very end of school, and it didn't go well.
Huh. Yeah, everybody's giving them back. Everybody keeps giving Pink back that pledge.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, they refer to it throughout the movie. You're going to sign it. Don't try to do it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I thinking about it as a perspective, if I was rewriting that, would that be a bigger deal? The pledge?
Yeah.
I mean, you do have the big moment with it in a minute.
Well, I mean, you have to, and you have to put some tension in there between Pink and some of the other characters. Right.
It kind of makes me think of the Breakfast Club, the essay.
Yeah. It's a deus ex machina. You know, it's just there to, you know, it doesn't really matter in the long run. It's just, it's there to create tension or develop a goal or to move a plot point around.
Well, what a good perspective, though. Yeah. This is the best years of my life. Remind me to kill myself. You know what? Back then, we never thought that, but I want to tell my kids that now.
Yeah, enjoy. I mean, I do feel bad, you know, that my daughter was a senior during all this. So, I mean, they might do a drive-by graduation. I mean,
yeah, we're going to do at the high school I work at part-time, we're going to do some kind of virtual social distancing one at the end of June, like the very last point, unless things change again. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, finally see the police showing up at the football field. One thing you don't mess with in Texas is the high school football field. You got any Visine? And everybody carried Visine at some point.
We're still months away from there being any football.
Mm-hmm. And somebody that went to school with Wooderson. Look at this guy.
Right. His contemporary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, God. Look at that plastered hair right there. Wonder what coach is going to think of this. Couple football players. Wooderson probably like picked on this guy or something in high school.
Yeah.
Because I got all district, you didn't. Summer breeze makes me feel fine.
Feels rocked. I actually saw the Isley Brothers in concert. I don't know if you know who they are.
Yeah, I know who they are.
They covered this song, and it was the best thing. It was a 10-minute version of this. It was transcendent. Summer Breeze, Seals and Crofts. Mm-hmm. Pretty great song.
There's
good makeup song.
Making out on the blanket here with the older girl here.
The blanket kind of goes into his shirt.
He kind of disappears into it.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Mitch forever. Uh-oh.
Here comes the dickhead coach.
Turned into morning awful quickly.
Yeah, you're kind of like, ugh. This is when you're just like, oh, let's just go to the diner.
Yeah, you go to Denny's.
Yeah, it's a big thing here in New York. Well, when I grew up in New York, yeah. There are diners in every town, several in some.
Can you remember any all-nighters?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Every time we had a hell night. In college for my fraternity, it was always, you know, we did all the activities we do, and then we induct them, we get them drunk, and then we end up at the diner at sunrise. I remember one time one of my fraternity brothers, you know, got so, I think he was in one of the ones inducted, and he was so shit-faced that we let him sleep in my car, and like when we were going to leave, we thought my keys were in there. we couldn't get in the car. We're shaking the car, making noise so bad that like people were threatening to call the police. And I'm like, where the hell are my keys? Finally, we get him to like open his eyes and he like, you know, opens the car door. And I'm like, where are my keys? And all of a sudden I hear from behind me, one of my fraternity members going, sorry, I had your car keys the whole time. I literally wanted to kill. Yeah, the whole time. I'm like, I'm going to kill you. I chase him around the parking lot.
Yep, there it is. Mm-hmm. He throws a contract at him.
It's like, fuck you,
coach. And you know he ends up playing quarterback anyway. He just doesn't sign it.
Yeah, you know they're going to give him a pass. If they want to win state, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Old school Bronco. Driving off into the sunset. Aerosmith concert. Mm-hmm. Let's go get our tickets.
I take your car, man. So that's that, huh? Yeah, you know Donnie or whatever his name is. That's his best friend right there. Because he wants him to do it, but he gets it. You know, he's not like the other guys.
Mitch finally getting home.
Oh.
Yep.
Sneaking into the house. Oh, my God.
The dread. Do you ever do that? Go out for the night and put a dummy in your bed or prop up your sheets so that your parents would think that you weren't?
No, but I remember making a fatal mistake one time. You know, coming in the house, I brought the paper in because the paper gets delivered like 6 a.m, whatever.
Yep.
They're like, my father's like, how'd the paper get in the house? And he's like, what time did you get home last night? I'm like, I don't know. He's like, was this, did you bring the paper? And I'm like, Between that, or like when I was DJing and bartending, you know, New York, the bars were open until 4. So it was quite often I wouldn't get home till like 6 or later because we would sometimes go out to get breakfast. The worst is like, you know, sprinklers are on or something trying to get through all that. Have you been drinking? No.
Not at all. No. Touched my nose a couple of times. Kind of a nerdier room, you know, sports heroes and Elton John.
There's a picture. You can see a picture of him and Carl and the other guy over there.
Little League trophies.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, well, the kid's like 13, 14 years old, so.
Yep.
There we go. And Slow Ride's playing again.
Again.
This is what I have in my head, like this whole thing, because, you know, they do the whole roll call at the end. This Slater, massive hit or whatever he was. There's Joey Lauren Adams having like no, just
barely in the movie.
Yeah. And they're heading down to Houston. Oh man, I don't even know if I'd be in condition to drive at this point. After, even if I didn't drink, being out all night.
Man, I can't even stay up till 10 some nights anymore.
Yeah, and then look, we got the nice roll call here with the cast characters and whatever appearance. Yeah, this is like a who is who.
Yeah.
There you go. We got Jason London. You know, Joy Lauren. She still does stuff, I think. Nothing too big.
Does she? I don't know.
Yeah, she probably does like Hallmark Channel shit or something.
Multipass. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Third time.
Sean Andrews. Barely in the... Yeah.
Yep. Matt Riddle. Slater.
He did CSI Miami for a while.
Did he? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Adam Goldberg, yeah.
The other Adam Goldberg.
I don't know if Anthony rapped as much. Sasha Jensen, he didn't do anything.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Nope. She's done some stuff, Marisa Ribisi. I've never heard of this girl outside of here, too. Dina nope. Martin, Siobhan. Neither Michelle Berg, no. Jody.
Nope.
Cole Hauser. He's done some things. He played Vince Vaughn's brother in The Breakup. One of his brothers.
Okay.
Him and Vincent D'Onofrio played the other one. There's Wally Wiggins.
Okay, Kingpin. Mm-hmm. What a name.
Yes.
There's the random tall kid.
Mm-hmm. There's Esteban Powell.
Esteban, he does not look like an Esteban.
No, he does not. There's Jeremy Fox, there's Hirschfelder. There's Ben Affleck, old Banyan. I don't know if this Jason O. Smith did anything. Mel, he was a good part, though. This girl, I've never even heard of anything else. Mm-mm. Christina Hinojosa. There's Parker Posey. Look how far down she is in this cast. She's probably the best actor on the whole thing. Matthew McConaughey as Wooderson.
Well.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Catherine Morris. He's done some stuff, Nicky Cat. I've seen him in things. What a tremendous, tremendous movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Thank you for appeasing me for doing this.
You're welcome. You know, there were songs we didn't even talk about because mm-hmm. you hear them, but they don't see the lyrics on screen. Mm-hmm. What's that? Save my life. I'm going down for the last time. That's mm-hmm. in this movie. Mm-hmm. I forget what that song is called. No, never been any reason. That one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you don't have the soundtrack or have all the songs that appear in this movie, there's something wrong with you. Your collection is missing.
Just type in Dazed and Confused to Spotify. Mm-hmm. It's all on there.
Oh, yeah. Tremendous, tremendous. And, you know, we may see some of these songs in one of our coming up tournaments.
Tournaments, you say?
Tournaments. That's what we love here at Place of the Nation. We're getting towards the final rounds here. You know, we're in the, I believe, round three.
Get down to Doritos versus Doritos pretty soon.
Yeah, or Twinkies versus Cupcakes, you know, who knows. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been fun. You know, it's nice a little small tournament because we have a very big music tournament coming very soon. So I'm very happy. And hopefully, you know, Todd will be back to break that one down like we did for the 80s.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see about that. Don't you forget about me when you're putting together that show.
Yes, I definitely will not. No. Anytime there's music, you know, Todd's on speed dial. All right. So, Todd, is there anything you'd like to direct people for? Any social media presence or anything, you know, they can find you on?
That's a great question. I guess just follow me on Twitter at Todd Weber Guitar. Some really bad political takes and weird wrestling takes and bad Sacramento Kings takes. But that's pretty much the extent of it. I've kind of backed away from so much social media, and especially with this quarantine on, I'm at home all the time. I'm doing a lot more family oriented stuff mm-hmm. with my kids. So
that's great. Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. Oh, mm-hmm. I'm sure we're tired of hearing about that. How about we say it's what it is?
Hey, it's the way of life. How, you know, some people hopefully are out there like you are using to your advantage to, you know, reconnect or use the time wisely or, you know, to get more out of the time together.
Yeah.
Which is really good.
So looking at the credits, we got some more songs we didn't even talk about. I Just Want to Make Love to You by Foghat.
Oh, wow.
Foghat for that version. Mm-hmm. Never Been Any Reason. That was the song I was talking about in a second ago. Fox on the Run, I Don't Know What That Is by Sweet. Show Me the Way, more Peter Frampton.
Mm-hmm. Right Place.
Rock and Roll All Night by Kiss.
In the Wrong Time.
It's a good place. Song. Dr. John. Mm-hmm. Ted Nugent, Seals and Croft, and Leonard Skinner. Yeah, fantastic film, but they spent so much money on the music for this mm-hmm. movie.
Yeah. So, for me, you can check me out here on the PlayStation Pop Feed with a bevy of shows. Laughing Theater, the last episode before this was Ace Ventura Pet Detective with Logan Crossland. A lot of fun, and right before that was Animal House with J.R. Samuel D'Amato. Plus, we're doing bonus episodes of group watches of silly movies. We did Ready to Rumble. Was the last one. Check me out on Pop Goes the Classics. That is the Disney animated film series that we're doing. We're up to Dumbo in the latest episode. It was just me and Miranda Berthold, although Chad Campbell is part of the host on that. So hopefully he'll be in the next episode. Check me out also. We have a new Great Debate coming. Actually, the next episode of Great Debate is going to be a live episode. It's my first live show coming to you on... this should be up before then, but going up next Friday. This would be June 5th, so 10 p.m. Eastern. So come on down and listen in. And don't forget, check me out on the wrestling feed. I have, you know, the Great Debate Wrestling. A new episode should be coming in a couple weeks, as well as Evolution. I'm going to be sitting down with the Godfather, Nate Milton, and we're going to be breaking down the career of the man called Sting. So that should be a lot of fun. Love anytime I get to do a podcast with Nate. It's always a great time. And also Body Pressure Luck, which Todd, you did the theme song, correct?
I did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I coddled together the theme song. I did the drums for that and mm-hmm. changed the key of the, the $20,000 pyramid
mm-hmm.
music and kind of mixed it together. So, mm-hmm. I'll take a little bit of credit for that. But Anyway, it bangs. Yeah, I'm good with it.
It's a tremendous theme, and that is the show that I am the third man in a booth with Mr. JT Rosero and Jordan Duncan as the Wrestling Trivia Show, so that will be coming within the next couple weeks as well. Don't forget, check out PlaceMediation.com, all kinds of articles, fresh takes. Check out our associate feeds. That is the North-South Connection, brought to you by JT Rosero, Chad Campbell, and Aaron George. All kinds of fun wrestling shows and some other, you know, there's a Curb Your Enthusiasm show on there. So you'll find all kinds of fun stuff, as well as Jennifer Smith's Jimmy Position, home of Geek and Sassy, Talk and Pop, The Journey Through Infinity, and lots of other shows. Don't forget, check us out on social media. We have all kinds of Facebook pages for a lot of the shows. And don't forget on Twitter to check us out. So all that out of the way, I just want to say a big, big thank you to Todd Weber for joining me tonight for Days of Confused.
Thanks, Double A.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate you being here. And for those of you, thank you all for listening. But for now, the theater is closed. We'll see you on the next episode. Take care, everybody.
All right, all right, all right.
Oh God.